The Broadcast Film Critics Association is North America's largest film critics group. Its annual televised Critics' Choice Movie Awards have become the best handicapper for the Academy Awards, and this year's nominations are a mix of consensus picks and surprises. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The big Hollywood studios and smaller indie producers have been inundating critics and award group voters for months with swag, letters, DVDs, and all manner of enticement. One of the recipients of this film largesse is Philippa Solis, fellow voting member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association. I'm delighted to have you back on the program again.
It's absolutely wonderful to
be
here.
Boy, the year flew by.
And when you say largesse, you mean it. It's like every day you've just got boxes and boxes at your doorstep, and you have to stop what you're doing and watch
Christmas
a movie.
Christmas in October.
It's always Christmas in October. It's fantastic. It's been an interesting year. Very hard to just sit and say, this is going to be the across-the-board movie. Last year, I liked it very much, but The Artist seemed to be the movie that was the takeover film, and it held its own throughout the entire award season. This year,
I was looking at my voting ballots for the last few years the other evening before I cast votes for this year's award show, and at least the last three or four years, there were three or four or five titles that I just thought were perfect films, and I don't recall a single film I saw this year that I felt that way about it. There's a lot of very good films, and we'll get to that in a second, but I thought it was a high average year. There's a lot of very good films, but no great films that I just was so excited after.
There's not a No Country for Old Men this year. Mm. There's not something that you either walk out of a theater or walk away from your living room and go, I can't sleep tonight.
Except perhaps the two films that are on our nomination list that we haven't been able to see in El Paso yet, Django Unchained and, of course, Zero Dark Thirty, which seems to be coming on strong. So let's get to the Best Picture nominations. The Broadcast Film Critics select 10 films.
Yes, they do.
Which the Academy has gone to that format as well. So run us down the nominees this year.
Well, this year, the nominees in alphabetical order are Argo, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, Les Misérables, Life of Pi, Lincoln, The Master, Moonrise Kingdom, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty.
Fantastic. So what have you seen this year that you thought should have been on that list?
The Sessions. I thought that was overwhelmingly over the top to where I was almost embarrassed sitting there watching it with my dogs, but it's an intense film, and it's beautifully done.
This is John Hawkes playing a man who's basically in an iron lung most of his life, and Helen Hunt comes into his life as a sex therapist, of all things.
It's very hard to watch, but it is fascinating, to say the least. And it's daring and it's bold, and you leave going, and what did George Brock
say? It's very humane.
Say?
I mean, there's just a few great performances in it, and it's really about relationships.
William H. Macy, too. Yeah. Art is meant to disturb, and so sometimes you need to see a movie that just kind of shakes you up, like last year, The Skin I Live In. There are movies like that. I'm hoping that Django Unchained does that. A small movie that I truly enjoyed was Hyde Park on the Hudson.
Oh, I agree.
With Bill Murray playing FDR, Laura Linney as his cousin, who it was inferred to that they did indeed have a relationship, especially the weekend in 1939 when the Queen and King of England made their very first stop to the United States. And it was, I thought, a very, very charming film.
And Bill Murray as the president, who I think it's one of the few roles he's ever taken on that he just kind of disappears, because it's hard not to see Bill Murray. But
the director did a marvelous job. He was very subtle,
easing us into that performance.
It was a lovely film. Now, as far as the list goes, Zero Dark Thirty, as you say, is gaining a lot of momentum. Lincoln, of course, is the big epic proportioned film of the year. The Steven Spielberg, oh my goodness, here's the Civil War.
I think it's the consensus pick going into the Oscar race, just because it has so many overlapping demographics that will like that film. And it's a very good film.
It's an exquisite film.
Flight did not make the list, which I voted for, which I surprised myself, because
marvelous.
I do not enjoy Robert Zemeckis films, but I thought he did a marvelous job with Flight, and another film that surprisingly is a very intimate small film about Denzel Washington's addictions. You know, the trailers really play up the plane crash at the beginning of the film, but the rest of that film gets smaller and smaller and I thought it was marvelous.
Oh, it was beautifully done. That film should have been on the main list, but there's so many little sidebar lists. Mm. So another film that I think was the first screener I watched was Bernie.
Yes.
And it was a little small film.
Great Texas,
in Carthage,
indie.
Texas. And it was fabulous.
And there are moments in that film where Jack Black, you really see what his potential is as an actor.
You know, when he was in Tenacious D, I knew that kid had something going on there that we just weren't aware of.
School of Rock where you saw that. But
he could talk about Mozart and he could talk about Metallica in the same sentence, and it worked.
A
he
film you and I
is
both
great.
Loved, A Late Quartet. Completely shut out of all categories.
It made no sense. And just by virtue of my classical music involvement,
yes,
in my own world, it was perfectly done. Mm. It was, those are the characters that you deal with on a daily basis. The bookings of concerts, the buying of instruments,
the relationships.
And this is
a quartet that's celebrating its 25th anniversary, I think, in the film, and it's beginning to fall apart.
Well, and it probably, and you wonder if that was always there. They just kind of handled it, because based on that kind of lifestyle, you have to handle a lot of things. But when you think about Catherine Keener and Philip Seymour Hoffman and Christopher Walken as the cellist,
yeah.
It was...
I nominated all of them.
I did too.
In various acting categories.
And so I was very disappointed to see that film was ignored, because I think that's a very honest look at the classical music world, because I think people think that world too is incredibly glamorous. Mm. And you have to stay up late and wake up early and practice, practice, practice.
Let's talk about acting. You want to run us down a couple of those lists?
Yes. You know, I want to cut to the chase, because I think one of the most interesting categories this year was indeed Best Supporting Actor.
Hmm.
We have Alan Arkin in Argo, who I absolutely thought was terrific. Skyfall. You never think you're going to see a Bond film on any list of great films, but Skyfall was probably, when you talk about that movie that makes you go, wow, that was good, was Skyfall.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Craig really nails it, if you will.
It's and it has one of the best villains ever.
Best villain ever. 50 years of Bond. I'm, I guess, the AARP Bond girl, but I have loved Bond since Dr. No.
So Javier Bardem picked up a nomination from us.
He certainly did as a Bond villain, and he's probably one of the finest who's been created in Bond world. Robert De Niro is beyond charming, beyond amazing in Silver Linings Playbook, which is a film that I loved, watched twice, could see it again.
Great ensemble cast.
Beautiful
Bradley
ensemble
Cooper,
cast.
Jennifer Lawrence.
It touches on everything from mental illness to relationships to love to family to gambling. There's every kind of issue that you can look at, and it's there. And Robert De Niro, all of these actors were so great. Philip Seymour Hoffman in The Master, he is the master, truly, when you look at this list. Tommy Lee Jones is brilliant in Lincoln. And then, of course, Matthew McConaughey for Magic Mike. Now, when you
putting
think
it all out there.
Putting it all out there. But, you know, how daring is it to look at a camera and he goes, all right, all right, all right. And he does a dance number that... Well, not since Top Hat has anyone been quite so daring on a dance floor. But
we should note, for people who haven't seen it, this is about the world of male stripping.
Steven Soderbergh's
look. Yeah.
When you think about the other actors in the movie, there, Channing Tatum.
Yes.
He is now quite the talk of the town, and they're all going through the motions. But Matthew McConaughey lives and breathes it. He's also in Bernie. He's also in a film that was ignored this year too, called The Paperboy, that was just brilliant. He's another one who, well, this one he took his shirt off and it paid off.
He still
but
got it.
He's a very, very, very talented actor.
You know, when you were speaking about Skyfall, it dawned on me that this was a great year for genre films. Not necessarily the big award-winning films, but films that have to go over territory that's been covered so many times. So we have, like in the horror category, I thought The Cabin in the Woods, written by Josh Whedon, was fantastic. Action films, we both love The Gray.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I dreaded seeing that Liam Neeson film about guys in the woods with wolves, and it is fantastic.
Fantastic film.
Great script, great direction. The Bond films, what a way to cap a 50th anniversary. The police procedural and sort of found footage type film, End of Watch, I was amazed at, cannot believe that Michael Pena and Jake Gyllenhaal did not pick up nominations for that film, so highly recommended.
There's got to be a way that we encourage our fellow members to really take the time to not just wait for the studio extravaganzas, but to really look at those early films that they send out that are just kind of sent in mass that are worth our time and trouble. Because that's what film, I mean, I'm always the kind of person who feels that you need to dance with the one who brung you. And that's why I love silent films. But I think that when you look at people who genuinely want to make a film for film's sake and not for the paycheck, but for the art, I think we need to really sit back and look at them and salute them just a little more.
And the smaller indie producers, you'll notice the list, except for Beasts of the Southern Wild, our 10 Best Picture nominees are all pretty much studio pictures.
Absolutely. That's why Bernie would have been fun to see in there. He's in another category,
right.
Best Comedy, but I don't know. These are all the comedies except for Ted and This Is 40. They're dark stories. Silver Linings Playbook I thought was stunning, and I cried, and there were moments you laugh, but I don't think that just constitutes a comedy. I mean, Lincoln is clearly not to be in the comedy category. 21 Jump Street got in there. I'm still in awe of that one.
One of the things I love about the process we go through every year receiving all these films is we get a lot of documentaries.
Yes, we
which
do.
There's really no other way to see these in a theater, at least in our region. Did you see any documentaries that just really wowed you this year?
Central Park 5, I think, was absolutely
which was nominated.
Amazing. I thought Bully was interesting, but the Central Park Five, I think of all of them, clearly stood out. Hero, Dreams of Sushi did not get in the list, but
I love that film.
I thought that was so beautifully done. That's art, copying art, looking at art, making art happen.
And one of our nominees, Searching for Sugarman, for anybody that's interested in music and music history, this amazing documentary about this semi-lost performer Rodriguez from the early 70s, whose albums went nowhere in the States, but apparently was all the rage in South Africa for
decades. He was
decades.
The Jerry Lewis of Paris in South
and,
Africa.
And no one knew it until some South Africans started looking for him many decades later, and it's a fabulous story. I think the most impactful documentary I saw this year was The Gatekeepers, which we did not nominate, but it's interviews with six previous directors of the Israeli Shin Bet Security Service, which is just fascinating, how they got these six men on camera and to talk so unvarnished about security issues and the state of Israel and the state of the Middle East. It's a fascinating documentary. Highly recommended. The Gatekeepers.
The Gatekeepers.
Pick for Best Picture this year?
I just can't go with the norm. I'm going to go off the list a bit here. I'm beginning to think that Argo could somehow, some way, zip through and get on top of the heap.
Ever since it came out, people have been calling it a best picture. I'm a little surprised by that because I have a few reservations about the film. It's very good. I highly recommend it. But as a best picture, I'm not sure. I think Lincoln is probably has the right tangents that are all crossing in the right place. I'm hopeful for Zero Dark Thirty, but I think that's going to be an outlier.
That could be. My two guilty pleasures, Moonrise Kingdom
yes.
and Silver Linings Playbook.
Fantastic. Always nice to see you. I'm sure
wonderful
you've got a gown picked out for our gala.
I do. I didn't get your approval yet, Chuck, but it's still early. The award show is January 10th.
I've been discussing the just-released year-end film nominations from the Broadcast Film Critics Association with fellow association member Philippa Solis. For a complete list of this year's Critics' Choice Movie Award nominees, log on to CriticsChoice.com. On Film's producers, Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.